The views and opinions expressed by guests on this show are those of our guests, not necessarily ours. We are interested in presenting different viewpoints and strive to be neutral parties. We leave it up to you to make your own judgments. Welcome to Vision Chat, a podcast about spiritual topics, with your hosts, Virginia and Stina.
Welcome to another episode of Vision Chat. Today, I am interviewing Jennifer Salazar. Jennifer is a licensed trauma certified therapist with 18 years experience. She is a third generation practitioner of traditional curandera and holistic healing interventions with 23 years of experience. Jennifer spent 8 years studying with the late Elena Avila, distinguished curandera and author of Women Who Glows in the Dark. Jennifer is a master herbalist and incorporates her knowledge of herbs and plants in her healing approach. Jennifer utilizes a diverse theoretical approach, including holistic and behavioral neuroscience, to help guide people to a path healing the mind, body, and heart. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
Yes, so Stina will not be joining us, so we will be missing her, so it'll just be me. But okay. Thank you so much. And if you don't mind, just by kind of letting our listeners know just a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. So as you said, I am a therapist here in Arizona. I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm originally from New Mexico, and I've lived in Arizona now for about 20 plus years. I came to school out here. But I worked as a therapist for many, many years. But prior to being a therapist, while I was in college, I read a book by Elena Avila called Women Who Glows in the Dark. And I remember I closed the book and I said, I'm going to find this lady and I'm going to work with her. You know, I did pursue her. This was before the internet, so I don't know how I found her number. And I did, and I called her and bothered her. And she said, you know, I don't just take on apprentice. That's not how this works. You have to have the don. You have to have a gift. And so she said, start coming to my workshops. Let me see what you can do. And then I'll let you know if I'll take you on. So I did. And eventually she took her very last group of apprentice on, and I was included. And I studied with her for 8 years. And that was prior to being a therapist, but I started going to school to be a therapist while I was studying with her as well. So the two blended very nicely. Elena was a nurse practitioner, a mental health nurse practitioner. So she knew a lot about mental health as well, and she blended the two worlds. So she was my inspiration for wanting to be able to blend both worlds. Yeah, so I've been a therapist here in Arizona, and you know, I work in private practice, and I see everyone from kids to adults. Mm-hmm. And that's a little about me.
Okay. How are you finding the blending of both worlds? How is that going? When you first started compared to now, because it's been some years, have you found that things have changed, or is it kind of the same?
Things have changed profoundly. So when I first started, I remember being in school telling one of my professors, I was so excited how I wanted to blend both worlds. And she looked at me and said, good luck with that. Your board isn't going to let you do that. And sure enough, I ran up against a lot of pushback, a lot of, no, we can't bill for that. What are you talking about? Insurance companies won't accept that. You'll offend people. This isn't appropriate. On and on and on and on. So I kind of went into, I wouldn't say hiding, but I didn't announce that I was, you know, trained as a curandera, but I used the philosophy that I was taught incorporated with my work as a therapist. And I used my intuition and I used my tools quietly until I would say the last I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, it's exploded. And now everybody's embracing, you know, spiritualism and natural medicine and different healing modalities. And it's wonderful to see. I love that it's finally being embraced, but it took a really long time for us to get there.
Isn't it incredible? It's so like, it was so taboo. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're saying, and then you're right, over the last few years, it just sounds like everybody's blending, especially like what, you know, I'm a therapist as well, and just kind of blending the mystical and, you know, these worlds with psychotherapy. And it's incredible how much more people are coming out. I'm finding it fascinating how a lot of therapists are actually, you know, into all these practices as well. So
I am too. I'm excited for it. I'm also a little cautious because I'm seeing people who don't have legitimate training. Let's just, I don't have a better word for that, but training enough to be able to go in and blend these worlds, and maybe they don't know enough, and it could be a little, they could maybe cause a little more harm than good because they just don't have the experience and the knowledge. I train longer with Elena, with her, than to be an actual therapist, you know, because there's a lot to learn, right? And we're working with people's lives. And so I just caution people that if you are going to do this, which I want you to, I welcome it, just make sure that you are learning from a maestra or a mentor or a person that really has experience and knowledge. And you're going to take your time to learn whatever practice you're learning, whatever it is, from Reiki to, you know, there's so many different modalities now, but just making sure you're really seeping into it and really learning the craft.
There's so many categories of, you know, like psychic, healers, mediums. Yeah, like, how do you identify?
So I identify as a curandera. So a curandera is, I guess the modern word is shaman. But we have learned through oral teaching. We don't have it written down anywhere. And it is a blend of Spanish, African-American, and indigenous healing modalities. It's mainly in the southern part of the United States, Mexico, South America, Central America. And we really believe, and the way I was taught from Elena is that we really believe in earth medicine. So I don't believe in hexes or spells. I don't do hexes or spells. That's not what I do. I do real earth medicine. And when we can compare what I have learned to modern medicine, to modern therapy, it's all rooted in science, what I have learned. And Elena's book really goes into that. She teaches us how, you know, our folk medicine or our traditions really are rooted in science. And so I'm a curandera, I'm an intuitive, I'm a healer. So I really identify as it took me a long time to embrace intuitive because I always have been, but I didn't trust that I knew what I knew. And it probably wasn't until the last maybe 5 or 6 years where I finally said, yeah, I think I am an intuitive because I know things and I don't know how I know them, but I do. So I'm an intuitive, I'm a curandera, I'm a healer. As a curandera, just to add to that, there are different categories of curandera, not categories, but different specialties of curanderas. So I'm a herbalist. I've studied all around, but I specialized in being an herbalist. So there are sobadoras, the curanderas that do massage to help move parts of our body that are stagnant, that need, you know, our digestive system, our back. There are the parteras, they deliver the babies. And there are the herbalists like me. And then there are curanderas that do it all. My great-great-grandmother was a partera. She was a curandera tora. She did it all. And she delivered all the babies in the village and healed all the people and with her hierbas and her little bag of herbs. So I specialize in herbs.
How did you choose like what direction to move in? Seeing as how you could have gone in any direction with that.
I didn't choose it. It chose me. And that is the truth. It chose me. I remember being a very little girl, and we used to play outside then because we didn't have phones and internet. So I remember loving to play in the mud, and I would mix leaves, and I'd get these, whatever was in the yard, and I'd mix them up, and I'd make these potions. And I always played with flowers and whatever, leaves, herbs, whatever there was. And I have always been drawn to Yerba's herbs, flowers, medicine, plant medicine.
Do you remember any particular stories from your childhood where you were playing around with something like this and you were like surprised or amazed by anything that happened?
You know, as a child, I was very curious, and I was an only child for 7 years before my sister was born. So I used to always, like I said, play out in the yard, and I'd break rocks open, and I'd want to see what was inside and the sparkle and just the flowers. I was always curious with the flowers and the plants. And my grandma, I was lucky enough to have three great grandmas still alive when I was growing up. And then I had my two grandmas. So I was always with one of my grandmas, and they taught me how to garden and plant and how to care for, you know, the earth. And so I learned from them. And I think that for many, many years, I didn't want to be a curandera. I didn't want to be a therapist. That was never my plan. I wanted to be an actress. And I still do. I do acting. I still do acting. But that was never my plan. But it, again, through my grandmas and through what I've learned, what was my calling, I couldn't deny it anymore. So I just I dove headfirst into learning more about herbs when I was probably about 20.
It's interesting that you wanted to pursue the acting. I mean, I also find that people that have abilities and that are into mystical things are very creative.
Mm-hmm.
And into the arts.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, I've always wanted to be that. That's all I ever wanted to be, was an actress. I went to school to be an actress. From a very young age, I was putting on little shows and singing and dancing. And so I was a dancer for many years. And I still do plays and I still do theater, but I never pursued acting the way I thought I would.
You mentioned earlier that people should kind of, you know, yes, we're encouraging people to explore curanderismo and, you know, seeking out therapists or professionals that do healing work. But there was a little bit of a warning there also. What advice would you give people as far as like someone who's interested in like seeking these kinds of services? What should they be on the lookout for?
Well, I often see like advertisements for learn to be a shaman for $1,000 or 10,000. Actually, it was 10,000. This last one I saw was $10,000. And a woman I kind of know, I don't really know her that well, but she sold her car to get $10,000 to go to learn to be a shaman. And it was like an online class. And I don't know who is teaching it, so I can't speak to the authenticity of it, but it didn't sound like it was authentic. So I would be very cautious of these online programs that might not offer real authentic healing information and teachings. Again, we didn't write down any of our traditions. I was not allowed to write down any of our ceremonies, any of the words we speak, any of the prayers we use. This is all oral tradition, and it's been passed down through generation and generation. Elena studied for 20 years with her maestro in Mexico. Once they're our teachers, maestra's teacher, once they become our mentors, they're our teachers for life. So even when we go out on our own, she's no longer with us, but she was still my maestra. As healers, take this very seriously. It's not something that should be looked at as, oh, I can call myself a shaman because I took a 2-hour class. You're not a shaman. This takes years of learning. And I would caution against, you know, I know that right now, taking like psilocybin or ayahuasca, those are all very popular. And I think they can be helpful. I'm not against it at all. I'm just against people who don't know what they're doing and are inviting you to these retreats and don't really have the experience that they should have. So I would just caution against making sure that you know the person's history and where they studied and learned and what it is they're teaching you. I didn't pay to study with Elena. That's not how it works for us. I didn't pay to study with her. We were chosen. We paid by helping her with workshops and stuff, but we didn't pay her money. It was her duty, is the way she saw it, to pass on our tradition and to teach us. I'm not saying people shouldn't know their worth, and if they are going to mentor, there should be an exchange of some sort. But $10,000 to be a shaman online, I don't know, you know. So I would just caution against stuff like that. And I also caution against curanderas or healers that say, I can take this hex off of you for $500, or that's not real earth medicine.
Well, actually, funny you should mention that, because that's kind of where I was going with my next question is, you mentioned earlier you don't do hexes and spells and any of that, but do you believe that there are people out there that do them? Like, can somebody hex somebody else and then they come to you and they say, I'm cursed, you know, I think I need help. I need you to remove this thing. You know, how do you handle that kind of situation?
So the way I was taught and the way I believe is that we curse ourselves. So if we believe that someone has cursed us, then we curse ourselves because that's what we've chosen to believe. And we manifest that. If someone came to me and said, I think I have a spell on me, I would work with them on, it's like in therapy, if someone came to us and said, I'm having really bad luck. Well, let's talk through that. Why are you having bad luck? What are you responsible for? What is really going on? So I would probably work with that person to help them understand that they have the power to remove any spells or hexes that they might think that they have. They are the ones who have the power, not me. They can remove it. You can cleanse your energy. You can cleanse the negativity around you. I do believe in negativity, but you can cleanse your negativity. I do believe that there is negative energy, and I have been around plenty of people who have had very strong energy. I can feel, I'm an empath, I can feel your energy sometimes from a mile away. And I do believe we can cleanse that. But as far as hexes and spells, I think that we have the power to be able to ward those off.
So it's not necessarily something that you think, you know, like a curandera who's like maybe already doing some kind of work, like a healing on someone, and then she's like, oh, I see something dark here. You know, for a little bit extra, I'll cleanse it and then you're all good. Come back in 2 days and I have to do it 3 more times and then you're good. What do you think about that?
So again, I was taught that that's not the way we work. There have been people that come to me that have some dark stuff going on, but I don't say, hey, give me an extra $500 and I'll take this away from you, and then come back next week with an extra $500 and I'll take, that's kind of a con artist, right? So the real healing takes place within, and I don't upcharge because you have darker energy than someone else does. We don't do that in therapy. Someone has more trauma than others. I don't charge them more because they have more trauma, you know? So I just feel like those people that do that are probably not real healers.
I love that example because you're right. In therapy, we don't charge people extra. Like, oh, you know, you have some little extra trauma. It's going to take a little bit longer. So you're going to need to double that fee. It's true. Right? You're right. Yeah. But you know, a lot of people, then the general public, if they're not informed, right? So then that's about taking responsibility for ourselves, right? Like you said. So then if we can help to inform people and say, hey, you know what? Maybe look out for that. And you do have the power to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to get guidance from someone else, but ultimately you're responsible for yourself.
Right. Right. Absolutely. No, I just really, more than anything, in both practices, I really try to send that message to people is you have the power within you to be able to manifest whatever it is that you're needing in your life. You know, you can within you create whatever it is that you're seeking or needing or missing. And I think it's really important for people to know that the power is within them.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about, you know, this work?
Something I briefly talked about earlier is that this work is not scientific. And that's not true. This work has been rooted in centuries of science. Every culture has its own practices of healing. And they've held up. And I think for me, I have a really hard time when I see people like Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote The Body Keeps the Score, come out and say, I just discovered that trauma lives in our body. Well, I've known that. My ancestors have known that. Your ancestors have known that for many years. But here's this man, this man who's rooted in science. Everybody believes him now, right? Everybody thinks, oh, well, if he says it, he's a man and he's a scientist, so it must be true. But we've known it forever. All our ancestors, all of our cultures have beautiful healing modalities, and they are rooted in science. Even some of our folk medicine is rooted in science. We have something in Spanish called mal ojo, you know, you can give them babies the evil or the you can curse the little baby. Yeah, the evil eye. And actually many cultures have the evil eye. But that is rooted in science, because when you are staring at a little baby who doesn't have the capacity to ward off energy, and your energy is so strong because you admire them or you love them so much, they can get sick from all that energy. And it is true. And it's been proven that the babies don't have the ability to like regulate the energy around them. And so we can do that with other people. If our energy is so strong, it can make them not feel well, right? So it's not a folk medicine. It's not woo-woo. There's so many other examples I can use. And I just want people to know that many of these modalities have held up for so many centuries because they work, because they're rooted in actual science. Maybe science wasn't as understood 200 years ago, but that's why they've held up, because they do work, because they hold some value. So I think the biggest misconception is that's woo-woo, that doesn't work, that's folk medicine, that's not true. That's not true. It really is true medicine if it's done appropriately and done with a willing participant, someone who wants it to work. Because people who come in resistant and people who come in closed-minded, it probably won't work, just like in therapy. It's not going to work. Therapy is not going to work for someone who comes in closed-minded and resistant. So I just want people to know that spiritual medicine, folk medicine, traditional healing, whatever you want to call it, alternative medicine, it truly does have, it is truly backed by science in so many ways. And it truly isn't woo-woo. It really does hold a lot of value.
It's interesting because I overheard a conversation from someone. We were talking about, like, you know, when the whole organic produce or organic food started to come around, because that wasn't always a thing. That became right. A thing in recent years. And this girl, she was from Puerto Rico, and she's like, we've been eating organic ever since back in the day because we are eating natural fruits from the beginning of time. So this organic concept that people seem to have discovered really isn't a discovery.
That's right. My great-grandfather, I remember him, they used to grow their own fruits and vegetables and they would slaughter their own meat and they ate organically, right? Because they grew their own food and they slaughtered their own meat and they, you know, didn't use pesticides. And so we've been doing that forever. Our ancestors have been doing that forever.
Right, living off the land, you know, and that's why like, you know, I have grandparents that lived well into their 90s, almost 100.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And in a little ranchito, you know, like no modern medicine, you know, they never had like, you know, I see all these people, it's so unfortunate if I'm ever like at a pharmacy here in the U.S. and you know, the people that you see in line waiting for the medication are all older folks with tons of pills, you know, and it's just, it's sad to see that, you know, we've become, you know, so dependent on, you know, medicine, like the scientific medicine, instead of living organically, you know, like how did our grandparents make it well into their 90s and hundreds without these things, without modern medicine, without the science, you know, it's all organic.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that it's very unfortunate, but pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies has made our society believe that they won't be well unless they take this pill. And that's absolutely not true. In fact, oftentimes they make you sicker, right? And so getting back to real earth medicine, plants, herbs, these are very powerful plants and herbs that have real, you know, real chemical compositions that synergize with our body. I always tell people when people ask, well, ask me a little bit about herbs, what I try to explain is a pharmaceutical pill is one molecule that's going to attach to one protein in your body. What's going to happen is, it's one molecule that's going to attach to one protein in your body. But what's going to happen is all these other proteins that are connected are going to not be affected. And what's going to happen is you're going to get side effects because it's only targeting one protein. With herbs, it's many molecules that synergize with your proteins. And that's why it works, because it synergizes and it actually heals your body, as opposed to a pharmaceutical that comes in, targets one protein, masks whatever the symptom is most of the time, not giving you a real healing modality, and then it gives you side effects.
So, have you ever paid attention to those side effects when you're hearing the commercials?
Oh my God.
They oftentimes they sound worse than the actual thing you're trying to cure. And you're like, well, forget it. I'll take my chances with what I've got.
It's true. When I, you know, and I'm not saying we don't need Western medicine. There's value to Western medicine. However, we wouldn't need it as much if we lived clean, organically, from the earth, used earth medicine, practiced movement. You know, our ancestors moved. They were always moving. They didn't sit in a chair all day and look at a computer. They were outside getting sunlight, and they were in the fields working, or they were, you know, they were moving. They were moving, and that is why they were so much healthier than us. We sit at home. We drink our Cokes, watch our TV, sit on our internet, don't move. And that is why we're sick. We're a very sick country.
Yes, you are correct. It's so unfortunate. As an herbalist, are there things that you practice yourself like day to day? Since you have all this knowledge, what do you do to keep yourself healthy?
Absolutely. So right now, because I have a little cold, but here's what I will say. I started to get sick yesterday. I immediately got my oil of oregano out. I started taking my oil of oregano. I have right now, this is herbal tea that I made that's filled with licorice and ginger and all these really healing herbs. I almost will never reach for a pharmaceutical or over-the-counter medicine, I will always reach for my Yerbas first. And I can tell you, this morning I woke up, I already know that it's healing. I already can feel it. I'm already getting better, right? Instead of feeling sicker this morning, I'm already feeling better because I immediately started taking things that healed my body, not mask the symptoms, but that were healing my body. So my practice is every morning I get up and I do some sort of movement, whether it's riding my bike, yoga, Zumba, whatever it is. Movement is so important. It's a key factor in our health. And then I come home and I drink my teas, my yerbas, whatever it is for the day. I take my turmeric. I take my probiotics. Sometimes I cleanse myself with my sage or my Palo Santo, depending on the day and who I'm seeing and what's going on for the day. I have a whole cabinet full of herbs and natural supplements because I really feel like that's where I heal. So every day, there's not a day I don't think that goes by that I don't put some kind of yerba plant or flower into my body.
That's a beautiful practice.
Yeah, you know, I just truly know that they heal and they heal me. And I believe that my body wants to heal. I believe that my body likes to heal and it knows how to heal. And when I help it with the earth, plants from the earth, then it just gives it that much more ability to heal.
So for someone or for people that are interested in learning more about which herbs to use and, you know, natural remedies, where do you recommend that people can start learning?
I feel like I was lucky to find Elena, and I have a lineage of grandmothers who introduced me to herbs. And so I grew up with it. But I also furthered my studies by finding a school that helped me to learn the Latin names, to learn the contraindications, to learn, you know, to further it, to bring some science behind it. So I went to, well, partly I went to SWEHA, which is Southwest Institute of Healing Arts, but I also went to a place called, well, it's changed names now, but it was Herbstop at the time. And I learned from the master herbalist there, and I took about a year's worth of classes there. So I would suggest seeking out your local herb store, getting some information. There's lots of books you can start to learn from. There's quite a few podcasts out now about herbs. There's one specifically about how to work with herbs. And I'll look up the name. It's Rosemary Gladstar. And I don't know if you're familiar with who she is, but she's like the godmother of herbs in the Western society. Herbal Radio is what it's called. And it's a podcast. It's called Herbal Radio. So I would suggest starting there, but furthering, if you want to further your knowledge, finding a school. There's plenty of schools that offer, you know, the healing arts with herbal medicine. There's, and I don't know, you know, around the country, all the different ones, but I know that every state or city has to have at least some place you can go to learn and take classes. But if you just wanted to start on your own, I suggest listening to podcasts, reading books. Dr. Low Dog is someone to learn from. If you subscribe to her newsletter, she will send you weekly newsletters, and she holds wonderful, amazing workshops. So she was good friends with Elena Avila, my maestra. She is a doctor, but she holds herbal workshops, like weekend workshops that are pretty amazing. So yeah, I think seeking it out, and it will find you. You put it out to the universe that this is what you want to learn more about. It will come. It will find you. It will.
I'm looking up the name of that. Dr. Low.
Dr. Tara Low Dog. Let's see. Let me see if I can find her. But yeah. So it's Dr. her first name is T-I-E-R-A-O-N-A. And she has a website. It comes right up when you put, and so Low Dog, so it's L-O-W-E and then Dog, D-O-G, M-D, for medical doctor. And she has a website you can go to with all her workshops, but she's pretty amazing. She also gives like webinars. In fact, I think I'm taking a webinar from her next week.
I found her.
Did you find her? Okay.
Took me a minute, but I got her. This looks amazing. Yeah. Are there any favorite books that you recommend other than Dr. Avila's?
So I do have Elena's here. And I'll just show you what it looks like. It's Women Who Glow in the Dark. Elena passed away about 10 years ago. And she was in the process of writing her second book. And so she didn't get to finish that. So I do highly recommend Women Who Glow in the Dark. And I feel like there are so many favorite books of mine out there that it was hard for me to narrow it down. But I do have, and what I can send you is I often do workshops on connecting with your ancestors. And I have like a page of books that I can send with you that you could share with your audience if you'd like.
That would be amazing, because what we do is with guests like you that have so many resources, we'll put up your information on our website, which is visionofprofoundhealing.com. And we'll also put up all your book recommendations, podcast recommendations, everything goes on there. These are free resources for anyone who's interested. They can just go to our webpage and look it up free of charge. Everything's free. So this brings me to my next point, which is how can people contact you? Like, what do you offer? How can people find you?
Thank you. So I obviously am a therapist, so I'm only licensed right now in the state of Arizona. So if you wanted to see me as a therapist, I do only practice in the state of Arizona. However, if you wanted to see me as a curandera or as a healer, you can email me. You can send me a message. I practice out of my home as a curandera. I can do it online, but it's a little bit, I feel like you don't get the full experience because I do a lot of interactive work with people that I'm working with. So as a curandera, I'll just kind of give you a quick little overview of what I would do. First, we would start with a plática, which is like a therapy session, a conversation. And then we would do a cleansing. And a cleansing looks different for everybody. So depending on what you're needing and what you're going through, then we would do a cleansing. And then we would do what we call a soul retrieval. That's not all done in an hour. Like, I can't go from a plática to your cleanse to let's do a soul retrieval. I can't do that. So it
does. But you're not that magical. You can do it all in one shot.
right? So it does take some time. And so I tell people, if this is something you're really invested in, it may take a couple visits. But that's because I really want you to get the full experience. So you can email me. We can meet online. I'm happy to meet with people online. I just feel like if I see you in person, it's so much more effective. So they can email me. My number is available. I'm happy to connect with people, whether you want to see me as a therapist or you want to see me as a curandera, whatever, well, either way.
Are you comfortable providing your email or yes. And or website?
Yeah, absolutely. So my email is jsalowe33@gmail.com. And as I don't have a website as far as my natural healing, I do have a website for therapy, which is brainbodywellnessaz.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I so appreciate your time and your beautiful energy and all the wonderful information you've shared with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I just really want to make people aware that there's this is important work, and it's important to be open to other modalities of healing and not just Western medicine, because they can coincide, and it's important that we embrace that.
Thank you for listening to Vision Chat. You can find more about us at visionofprofoundhealing.com, where we offer readings, courses, and classes.